The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
This is the Evening Show podcast. I am Gordon Smart, and for 1 week only, I am joined by the wonderful Joseph Attwell.
Hello, mate. Thank you very much for calling me wonderful.
Yes. Okay. Joe Attwell's here. He's a lovely man, and we've got a very special podcast for you today because it's been sitting around for about 10 days now. We've been keeping it back. After Foo Fighters Day last Sunday, we have finally managed to get David Grohl together for the podcast. What a brilliant experience it was interviewing him just before he walked on stage at the Etihad in Manchester in his inner sanctum, his rehearsal room right next to the dressing room. And he was in fantastic form, Joe.
I'm really pleased because something that you've said a couple of times this week is that, you know, anyone that sees him interviewed will always think the same thing. They just think, oh God, he just seems like such a nice guy.
Well, we interviewed his mum, Virginia Grohl, and suddenly it all made sense. She's a lovely lady in her 80s. She's a school teacher. She's done a brilliant job bringing him up. And he says it on stage as well. And this is quite a common theory amongst brilliant rock stars when you meet them. They always say, you've got to walk out there and perform like it's your best gig every single time because there is somebody there who's seeing you for the first time.
Yeah, and he absolutely does.
And he has the same philosophy, exactly the same mission statement for every interview he does. I interviewed him once over the phone and he was doing the hoovering in his house and he was just full of beans. And he's like, look, no, this is no problem, man. I'm just going to stop. Let me switch the hoover off. It's absolutely fine. You're not interrupting. I'm here to talk about selling records and I'm going to do that with the most enthusiasm I possibly can.
Yeah.
He's just like, you can't help but like the man. He is lovely.
It is so refreshing to know that it's not an act. It almost couldn't be an act because he's so consistently nice. And he's got time for people and he's always like, the sets are always going longer than they should. The interviews are always longer than they should be. It's just, it's so refreshing to know that he's as nice as he seems.
There are loads of lovely little bits that I can give you a little peek behind the curtains on as well. So when we were going for our dinner, he gave us a pass for the catering, which is amazing, by the way, like the best meal you will ever have. And he was just walking out after he got his dinner and he sort of gave us a hello and a wee nod. And as he was doing it, he had half a baguette in his hand and he went, sorry, I've got a call coming in. And he went and he pretended the baguette was a phone. And it just really, it relaxed everybody. And after that, it was just such a treat. So here it is, the Evening Show podcast featuring the one and only David Grohl, as his mum told us to call him. This is a Foo Fighters special.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart, this is Radio X, and I am joined by the one and only David Grohl.
Oh.
Now, there's a reason for that, Mr. Grohl.
Why?
We interviewed your mum last year.
That's right.
I don't want to be rude, but she was the best interview of last year. She was incredible.
She's a very eloquent, brilliant, generous, wonderful woman.
She was phenomenal. She said,
she's great.
Make sure you always refer to him as David Grohl.
This is the thing. That's how you could tell people that have known me before Nirvana.
Right, yeah.
Because on the record, Nevermind, I think I'm credited as Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And so after that, everybody just thought of it. But my entire life, everybody had called me David.
Yeah.
And then I became a Dave.
You're David to us. She did say to us that Taylor Hawkins always starts by swearing and then apologising.
It's true.
Which kind of happens every time.
Well, she doesn't like it when people apologise for swearing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because she appreciates it as some expressive form of language.
Language, just as well for you, really, isn't it?
Sure, she's right, too.
She's a school teacher as well, isn't she? So that's where it comes from.
35 years.
We were out once about 10 years ago in Portugal, and Taylor Hawkins was walking around the bar asking everyone to punch him in the stomach.
Oh my God.
And I had a right good go at it. You know, I gave him a really good punch and just a little bit in the heart, which I think he remembered.
Yeah.
What's the most mental thing you've seen Taylor Hawkins do when you've been on tour?
Well, I do remember, he doesn't drink anymore, but I do remember when he first joined the band. I mean, we were like in love with each other. Like the minute the first time we had a beer together, we're like, we're going to be best friends for the rest of our lives. And it's true. Like we still really, we're like this.
Yeah.
And so he joins the band and I had him come over to my house. I was living in Los Angeles. I had him come over to my house and we sat in front of my stereo and played records with a bottle of tequila. And we do a shot of tequila and listen to a song. We do a shot of tequila and listen to a song. Do a shot. And then he started saying, like, okay, let's do two in a row. So we hit two tequilas in a row and listen to a song. Then we do, like, three in a row. And then we hit three in a row, and he kind of went, hold on. And he went to the bathroom and just threw up all over the place, came right back and said, like, all right, let's do four in a row.
Like, okay. Has this led to band prayer, which I believe is a Foo Fighters ritual that you maybe like to share with us? Can you tell me about it?
No, I mean, I don't know. We've always, The way I look at it is I like to go on stage laughing.
Right.
So the last 15 minutes before we go on, it's usually just the six of us in a room laughing about whatever, about anything. We're having a couple drinks, and I don't remember the last time we walked on stage in a bad mood.
Right.
And we'll hold the show until we actually get that feeling, like,
yeah,
you know, we're genuinely excited to do it. There are nights where it's hard, where you're tired. And,
yeah.
But the minute you start going for it, it's like everything changes.
Taylor said he still gets really, really nervous.
He does.
Do you? How are you with the old nerves after all these?
I don't get nervous anymore.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a bit weird, yeah.
It scares me a little bit.
Right.
When someone says, like, there's 100,000 people here tonight, I'm like, let's go. Get out there like, ah.
What does make you nervous?
What makes me nervous? You know, being a parent. There's a thousand things that make you nervous being a parent.
Yeah, sure.
But that's the thing. Like, once you become a parent, you start thinking of, like, you know, if you had any phobias before, elevators or airplanes or bridges or whatever, your heights.
Yeah.
And you've got a kid, you start thinking, like,
danger.
No, you start thinking, like, I can't be a know, get over it.
Yeah.
Get on the plane and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Get on stage and play the gig.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I just really surprised myself that it was Monday there. It was like Friday already. Right, classic albums tonight. We've been looking back at quite a lot of contemporary albums recently, so I thought I'd go a little bit further back in history tonight for a bit of magic from Iggy Pop and Lust for Life, right? It was his second studio album, released on the 29th of August, 1977. It's the same age as my big brother, and it'll turn 41 years older this year. But I tell you what, that's weathered better than my big brother. Iggy was 30 years old when he recorded it and released this album. This year, he turned 71 years young, still looking pretty healthy though. Well, say healthy, you know, he's lean. It was released only 5 months after Iggy's debut solo album, The Idiot, and he wrote the album in collaboration with none other than David Bowie. Along with a producer, they worked under the pseudonym Bewley Brothers after the title of the final track on Bowie's Hunky Dory, and that was out in 1971. Great pub quiz question for you, that one. Now, he is quoted as saying that the writing, recording and mixing of the album happened in 8 days. How about that? Incredible stuff. But regardless of that, the album remains his most commercially successful to date. The iconic drum beat in Lust for Life, you might recognise it. It's been heard in a few songs since. Jets, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? Recognise that? Have a little think about it. But it was also apparently inspired by The Supremes' You Can't Hurry Love. And if you think about that, it really does make sense. The album featured guitarist Carlos Alomar, who played on Bowie's Station to Station album. And he's also played with Paul McCartney, Simple Minds, Mick Jagger. Let's just say he's pretty good on the guitar. When the album was released, it reached number 28 in the UK album chart, which seems criminal. And it did pretty well in the US to start off. But get on this, the timing wasn't great. It was 2 weeks after the death of Elvis Presley. Had it not been for that, it probably would have topped the charts. The label on which Lust for Life was released were much more focused on Elvis's back catalogue, and the charts were just full of Elvis at the time. But this classic album has given me a chance to play you two songs from Lust for Life. I've got The Passenger and Lust for Life. It's a beautiful summer's night, right? So turn the volume right up on your radio and enjoy.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio
X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I was on lead vocals there, producer Joe doing backing vocals. We were brilliant there. I hope you were enjoying that at home. I'm Gordon Smart, the Monday Night Evening Show, and this is Classic Album Chat. Let's just have a little listen to that in the background as well. Hats off, producer Joe, for finding Fall in Love with Me, which is the final track on the classic album tonight, Lust for Life, from Iggy Pop, 1977. It's 41 years old. So you just heard Lust for Life, and before that, The Passenger. What a brilliant tune. The lyrics of The Passenger are based on a poem by Jim Morrison, but Iggy has also said that the lyrics refer directly to being the passenger in David Bowie's car, and apparently Bowie used to drive him around because Iggy didn't have a car or a license, which I think was brilliant for everybody involved. It was covered by Susie and the Banshees on their covers album Through the Looking Glass, but it's also been covered by bands like R.E.M. What a tune it is. And then you heard Lust for before life. I really have this image in my head of you all going mental in your kitchens and your bedrooms and your living room listening to that tonight. We were going daft here in the studio. Lust for Life has been used in countless ads and films, but of course most famously in Danny Boyle's epic Trainspotting from 1996. It was re-released as a single that year, and it featured Iggy's cover of James Brown's Get Up, I Feel Like a Sex Machine as a B-side. Now this is going to bend your head. This is the B-side. Listen up. It's definitely missing a little bit of funk, isn't it? Lots of punk, though. As I'm saying, punk, not funk. What a brilliant, brilliant single that is. I'm going to go and dig it out. So there you go. That was tonight's classic album, Lust for Life, from Iggy Pop, 41 years young. And remember, if you enjoyed the classic album tonight, we've got 18 months worth on the Evening Show podcast. So go and have a little pour through and check them out.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is Radio X. David Grohl sitting right there. We are in your inner sanctum, your rehearsal room. Can you just talk us through it as well? How do you prepare for your shows?
I change my jeans and t-shirt into another pair of jeans and another t-shirt. Yeah. And then
not underpants though.
So. I do wear underpants.
That's true.
Because you don't want to be swinging around out there in front of 60,000 people. And then I'll take some Advil.
Yeah.
Because for my knees and my back, I'm getting old. Have a couple drinks.
Yeah.
Listen to some music.
That's band prayer.
Band prayer.
Now, I'm writing a really lowbrow, terrible book called Slash Gordon, right?
Ooh.
It's called Slash Gordon, terrible pun on Flash Gordon, and it's about awkward encounters in the bathroom with famous people.
Ah.
Because I once had this terrible moment in a toilet beside Sean Connery. He was my hero. I met him, tried to make conversation. He said, now is not really the time, is it, son? Which was a special moment.
That's good.
But then I thought, who would he say is the most famous person he's had a chat with at the toilet? Now, I've asked this to every artist who's come in the last 18 months, and you've been an answer twice. I asked Josh Homme. He said, I've never peed beside David Grohl, but I've peed on him. He told us that. And Ben
true.
From Ben
I wasn't
from
Biffy, in a bathroom.
Ben from Biffy Clyro said he peed beside you at a festival. Felt a little bit weird being around you looking at your undercarriage.
How funny.
Dave Grohl, who is your Slash Gordon?
Oh, God. I do remember going to the Rainbow once during the Nirvana years and being in a bathroom that Chris Novoselic next to Slash, and I think he said, that's quite a splash, Slash. but it was more his experience than mine.
You know, that's exactly what I was looking for, so thank you very much for
there
that. Now, last time you spoke to Radio X, you did a great interview where you did an impression of Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah.
So not only do we call you David Grohl, every time we mention the band, they are now the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. But your impression was phenomenal, right? Really good. Have you got anything else in your locker? Any other
no.
great impressions?
I'm not an impressionist.
Have you not got that?
I'm not very impressionistic. I'm impressionable, but I'm not great at the impressions. Okay. Now, the Christopher Walken one had been around for a really long time. And we actually, years ago, we had this idea that we wanted to do a crowd safety video before every gig.
Like an airplane.
Yeah, with Christopher Walken narrating. And, stage diving is not allowed or whatever, and have this whole thing.
Yes.
And we never did it, but obviously we're huge fans.
Can you not just do all interviews as Christopher Walken from here on in?
It's funny, once you get into that headspace, you can't stop.
We can't do it on the radio without saying Foo Fighters every single time.
It's hard. It's a little bit, New York, because he's got a little bit of New York accent. Yeah. But then the one that, most people, when they do Christopher Walken, they accent the wrong words, always the last ones or whatever. But you have to remember that he's also got the creepy low voice.
Oh yeah,
the
sinister A View to a Kill voice.
He starts talking like that, and it comes out of nowhere.
Now we're here in Manchester tonight at the Etihad Stadium, right? A lot of the guys who play soccer here normally are off at the World Cup.
Right.
Are the Foo Fighters following the World Cup in any way? And if so, who's your team?
I gotta be honest, I have not followed sports since I was a young lad, a wee lad. I'm not a very sporty person.
Yeah.
I was actually a goalkeeper my entire childhood career.
Yeah.
From the time I was 6 to maybe 13 or something like that. Yeah. I was always a goaltender.
Yeah.
And I played lacrosse too, and I was a goalie in that sport as well. But once I discovered punk rock, I was kind of out of there.
Now, we've got two great support acts tonight. The Cribs are on. Yeah, fantastic.
They did great. You could can hear them all.
Right, we'll hear them in the background. Wolf Alice as well. What is the selection process for a Foo Fighters support act? How do you go about choosing them?
Well, I mean, one of the great things about being in the position that we're in, playing these big shows, is we get to decide who's playing with us. Yep. And also, we try to expose audiences to great new music that maybe they might not otherwise have heard. Now, both of those bands are huge, I think, Wolf Alice and the Cribs. Like, they're doing really well. They don't need our help. But there's sometimes where we'll take out bands that are lesser known and have them come out on the road with us.
And one last question on that point. You know, with a lot of the bands coming through, they often have bad nights when they go on stage.
Yeah.
But we ask all the artists who come on about their worst gig, just to offer that little bit of inspiration and maybe some support. When they've had a stinker, it happens to the best as well.
Yeah.
What's your worst gig, David?
Well, my worst gig turned into my best gig. When I broke my leg, I thought, this is the worst gig of my life.
Yeah.
And then we got up on stage and finished the show, and it was the best show of our entire career.
Yeah.
And we just played there again recently.
Yeah.
And I had a little post-traumatic, you know, looking at the stage and looking where I fell off. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We haven't had... I don't want to jinx it, but, you know...
I'm sorry if I have as well.
No. Usually, we walk off stage feeling like... There are times where we feel like we could have done better.
Cool.
But I've never walked off stage thinking, I never want to do that again.
Well, you've now got a rental business for the Throne as well, haven't you? Axl Rose borrowed it. A couple of other people have had it. Make a nice little sideline for you.
I've been asked by a few people to borrow it when in need.
Yeah.
And like when Axl borrowed it, his crew, his management, they were like, well, how much you charge for the Throne? I was like, you can't charge anybody for the Throne. You know, that's bad karma. So I let him have it. And then at the end of the tour, he gave me, as a thank you gift, the most incredible guitar. The best guitar I've ever had in my entire life.
No way. What was it?
It's a Gibson ES-335, but it's like a single dot. They're kind of rare. It's like a 63 or a 65 or something. And it's just, I use it all over the new record.
There's the karma.
It's amazing.
All over concrete and gold.
Yeah.
The Throne bought this guitar.
Thank God.
David, thank you so much.
Thanks,
man. Really,
man.
You've looked after us like royalty tonight. It's incredible. Even the catering's better than U2's, so you must have done quite well somewhere.
Yes.
Like, come on. Thank you, dude. That was amazing.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Put your shell toe Adidas gutties on, zip that duffel coat right up to the top, regardless of the temperature outside. This is What's the Story?
Radio X. What's the story? Radio X.
The last few weeks on the evening show, I've been asking you for your favourite Oasis track and the story behind what it means to you. Not after the obvious hits either. This is a chance to go off the beaten path with the Radio X record collection. Not after Live Forever, Wonderwall or Don't Look Back in Anger. I want B-sides and tracks that take you back to a very particular place and time. And right now, I've got a gentleman called Grant, and by the sound of his accent, I think he might be somebody from not far from where I grew up. All right, Grant?
All right, how you doing?
Very well. Grant, where are you from?
I stay in Perth.
Ah, now that I grew up in Kinross, so not far away. Now, Grant, are you of the same sort of vintage as me? Did you go and see Oasis a lot in the 90s?
I've only seen them once. And that was at Thiena Park, but you know, where I grew up, it was really hard to go and see anybody. So, massive in my life.
Yeah, so you lived off the records then. So I'd imagine you had all the singles back in the day. And I think, what track have you chosen? Let's get to that first of all.
Round Our Way.
Fantastic. So that was on the B side for Wonderwall. Is that right? I think it was.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So why does that song mean so much to you, Grant?
It just reminds me of when I was about 14, 15, maybe. We went out for a big gala thing, got absolutely steaming, sneakily drinking the beers, went back to my girlfriend's house where my mum and dad were there as well, drinking her dad's whiskey, and waking up the next day not knowing what happened. That music was playing. I used to listen to it all the time, so that was blaring in the morning, trying to get out of my first and worst hangover ever. And to find out that, mortified, my mum had to take me to the toilet the night before. I was sick all over the house, and I got dumped as well. So
But it's fine, man, because I've got to listen to the tunes all day. So.
Oh, fantastic, Grant. Well, every time I hear this song now, I'm going to be thinking of Grant in Perth having a shocker of a night the first time he was steaming. Grant, thanks so much for that, Chief.
No worries, man. Thank you.
So there we are, that was Grant in Perth, and he has chosen the brilliant B-side from Wonderwall. This is Round Our Way by Oasis.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Thanks so much for listening to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart. Remember, there are loads of other editions of this podcast featuring huge names like The Killers, Kings of Leon, Sir Paul McCartney, Noel Gallagher, Damon Albarn, and everybody else in between. If you enjoyed it, please leave me a little review and tell all your friends as well. I'll be back with another edition of the Evening Show podcast next week. Take care. Radio X.